If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-569-3414. That's 800-569-3414. Again, 800-569-3414.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome to Killer Innovations. Recently, Kim McNichols had the chance to sit down and have a chat with Nico Arsino, the man responsible for innovation within one of the largest healthcare organizations, Kaiser Permanente. He's responsible for figuring out the needs within the organization and matching them with external innovation, whether it's onboarding what's already been created or working with partners to create something new.
So what exactly is your title? What exactly is your role at Kaiser?
Yeah, so I'm the Senior Director of Strategic Partnerships and Strategy. I report to our CTO, and my role is as much external partnerships as it is internal. As you know, Kaiser is a fairly large place, a large organization. And so I'm really bridging meaningful relationships, both inside and outside, and bridging healthcare and technology together. And what that means is that, you know, there are things out there. This is less about buying something, right? It's not a build or buy discussion or buying a commercial product or a license. It's about, you know, R&D, working with, big and small tech companies and wondering what they have in their shop, right, that they may not be thinking about that could apply to healthcare. And then combining that with through a discussion and, you know, finding, you know, see if there's alignment with a business problem that we have, that where that coming together actually could make sense to solve that through technology. Now that could be accelerating something, that could be virtualizing something, that could be expanding it because it needs to be digital. It could be expanded to many more members who don't have it today because it's not in that state. So, you know, depending on what the use case is or the problem statement is, you know, that's where we say, well, we just solved this. Have you ever thought about doing that in healthcare? And then a lot of times the answer is yes, but they don't know how to actually make that happen. And that's where I can help bring the conversation together to put two and two together.
How does this entire process work? It seems like there's a lot of gray area there. What does your day look like? How do you approach when you walk in? Do you know the problems? Are people bringing you the problems? Are you bringing the problems, or are you bringing the solutions and finding the problems? How does that work?
Yes, to all those things. I think it's a little bit of we live and breathe healthcare every day. We know what our IT challenges are. We know what our healthcare challenges are in Kaiser and in general. A lot of these things are trying to be solved for a long time. If you think about telemedicine or, you know, where do you crack, you know, even still now, is telemedicine finally ready, right? And, you know, that's the going answer. Some of it's regulated issues. Some of it's technology issues. Some of it's just design or user-based issues, right, where we haven't been able to, penetrate a person's home because we're at the mercy of their network connection, or it's designed poorly, or there's nobody to install it because not everybody's a tech person. You know, there's no geek squad for healthcare. You know, you can't just take this into your home and expect it to work the way you think it will. I think that's where a lot of startups have failed. I mean, especially in remote patient monitoring, it's the hardest thing is to go into, or even a home health nurse to go into someone's home and be able to be efficient and provide quality care when you're at the mercy of, you know, the lack of being able to use the technology that's in your hands, whether it's education or network connectivity or issues, right? So it's hard. And so I think that if we look at, you know, knowing what those issues, getting back to your question, what those issues are, plus, you know, meeting, and again, I think the internal relationships are the most important part of my job, is that I build relationships built on trust and understanding what their problems are, and not bringing technology for the technology's sake, but actually saying, I think I have something that I learned from talking to somebody that might be of interest to you. Let's have a conversation about it. And that could take it to a place where, you know, now we're really having more of a business-oriented discussion of saying, could we design something, you know, through design thinking or some other avenue of saying, would that actually solve your problem as a first step? And so it does take a lot of time to, you know, that's where you're talking internally, you're talking externally, and then you try to bring those things together over, you know, the course of any given week or year and see where things can go. And sometimes they just stay at talking. Sometimes we start something and then they stop, and that's good. They should. And then others actually, one of the projects I'm working on is at the point of scaling within now an entire region. And eventually, I imagine it'll go nationally.
Talk about that. Can you even in general, I don't know if you can be specific, but we'd love to hear about that project, how you went about it. How do you discovered it first and foremost? And then what were the steps that you took afterwards to bring it to where it is today and where you hope it will be? When you implement
it. I can't speak to the partner specifically, but I can speak at a high level of what we did, right? So the idea here is that in Southern California, there is a program, and I'm trying to be, and we can talk about like what we can share externally later. I probably have to get it discussed. It's a rehabilitation program where, you know, it was paper and phone-based before, and or outsourced to a third-party vendor, right, that managed this. And it's, you know, think of education and rehabilitation. The success rate for it prior to us kind of taking a tackle on once we learned about it was about 50%, meaning that, you know, patients that were entered into this program, only 50% of the entered actually graduated. And this program is called cardiac rehab, and the point of it is actually after you have a life event like that, like a heart attack, like an MI, you end up needing this type of thing. So it's, you know, how do I eat differently? Or, you know, how do I exercise? What do I need to do to maintain, you know, my health and mobility, right, and wellness going forward? And it's proven, and this is in the external literature, it's not like a secret sauce thing. This is the cardiac rehab saves lives, you know, and so we've been measuring the results of this program in lives saved. So you take it, and then there's a bigger problem is that we, even through that, we weren't able to serve the tens of thousands of members that actually need it. We're still in the thousands only. So we have a big access problem, you know, and a quality problem because, you know, not enough people are completing the program or even able to access to qualify for it. So, and that's you generally just people and you think about the design of it and, you know, people's either maybe it's distance driving to the place to go do it. It's not coming to them. It's not personalized to them. So what we did is we took a wearable and mobile app and a clinician dashboard internally and virtualized or digitized all those aspects of it so that the exercises of reporting weren't manually entered or written down through a phone. It was actually digitally, you know, sent automatically from the exercises they did on the wearable to the clinician or the care manager. We also had proactive things that alerting them when it was time to exercise or motivational things that created these opportunities for them to do it. So they started to think of this as something Kaiser Permanente gave to them. And they got excited about it, about they really care about me, and it's actually tailored to their routine of what they need to do to improve their health after this event. So, you know, and then there are still the calls and the check-ins, but a lot of it can be automated, and then they're I wouldn't say less frequent, but they're more specific to how the care provider engages with the member throughout the weeks. And it's an 8-week program where they start and they get this thing, they get onboarded, and then they go through the entire session of recording this. And so we've improved our score from 50% to like 85% graduation rates of the program.
Wow. Yeah. And so through this process, you had to go out. How much of a struggle was it for you? Or what obstacles did you face in finding a one-stop shop solution, or did you, it sounds like you may have had to put a few pieces together yourself in order to make this happen?
Yeah, it was, I think this is where it was a true collaboration, right? So we internally built the portal, or the what's called the clinician dashboard. The partner we worked with created the app and for the app for both the watch and the smartphone, right, for mobile. And we leveraged the combination of that and how the data sent, what the most valuable data, how does this engage, how does this interact with the caregiver and the patient. And we did, I mean, it, I think we did a, we probably built it within a short amount of time, but most of the time that was leveraged was all the different shadowing design sessions with patients, with the nurse managers, with the doctors, right? So of all the different personas that were involved, and really understanding what the workflow was, so that, you know, we could create a you know, more of a program that really was designed around the actual need, versus just, you know, throwing out a wearable and see if it, you know, send data to the doctor, that kind of thing. So the design process was key to that, as well as how the app was created based on that and integrated into the workflow. So I think the challenges were, you know, is the technology ready? Will the patients adopt it in the way that we want? What do we do with the issues, which are still, like I mentioned in the beginning, are still very much an issue, because we were buying something to do that. And it's, I would say, you know, candidly, it's still not there. Those are still challenges. Patients still have issues with devices, don't know how to set them up, pairing, activation, those kinds of things.
You are listening to Kill Innovations on the BizTalk Radio Network. We'll be right back.
In the know, I'm Brian Osuch. Mike Savicki is a C6-7 quadriplegic who is a Navy veteran multi-sport athlete who stays on the go. He says when it comes to mobility and transportation, there is hope for those who are disabled.
It's about finding wheelchair-accessible vehicles and solutions that allow us to drive or be transported to be a part of society, which is what we with disabilities really want most of all.
Mike still drives and lives an independent life.
I was introduced to a wheelchair-accessible vehicle through a local Namita dealer who taught me about getting in and out with my wheelchair, driving with my hands, and about the fact that I can get my driver's license again and I can have that independence and freedom.
Many call Mike a hero, and he's urging others to enter the local Heroes Campaign Contest for a chance to win a wheelchair-accessible van tailored to meet their needs.
Go to the website mobilityawarenessmonth.com and share a short story or a video that tells us about who you are and what you're doing that makes you a little special.
For more information, go to mobilityawarenessmonth.com. Now you're in the know from Numita.
Five things you can count on when using LegalZoom for your business. Number one, reliability. You know, more than a million people have already trusted LegalZoom to help them start their businesses. In corporations, LLCs, nonprofits, DBAs, and more, use LegalZoom to get started the right way. Number two, experience. You can count on LegalZoom for all of the details. They've been helping all types of business owners for 15 years. Number three, helpful support. They have the right people standing by, ready to help with your questions, all based in the U.S. Number four, legal advice. LegalZoom isn't a law firm, so they built a network of independent attorneys available in 48 states. You'll get answers to your legal questions, and they can review supplier contracts, employment laws, and help with most of the day-to-day situations that pop up. And finally, number five, there are no surprises. LegalZoom provides complete transparency with upfront pricing and customer reviews with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Make the smart choice for your business today at LegalZoom.com, and don't forget to enter Ray in the referral box at checkout. LegalZoom.com.
As a small business owner, there's one word that you absolutely dread: payroll. For small businesses, it's a big burden. You may think you're saving time and money doing it yourself, but come on, are you? Timesheets, processing checks, calculating taxes, a total waste of your time. Paychex simplifies payroll processing, saving you time and money. Submit your payroll online, fax it in, or call your dedicated Paychex payroll specialist, and you're done. Learn more at TryPaychex.com. Come on, do the math. The IRS dishes out 8 million penalties a year. Make one mistake and you're on the hook. On average, you're losing nearly one business day every month doing payroll. That's time and money you'll never get back, unless you get Paychex. More than 500,000 small businesses already do. Call 877-649-5324. Trade payroll pressure for peace of mind. Call now, 877-649-5324. That's 877-649-5324.
If you're suffering from hearing loss, stay tuned for a special offer from the makers of Listen Clear, a revolutionary hearing aid breakthrough designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. Right now, you can try Listen Clear hearing aids absolutely free for 45 days. You can also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear hearing aids are so lightweight and comfortable, you can wear them all day long. They're practically invisible, too, so others won't even notice you're wearing them. And the best part is, you'll be able to hear almost everything, everywhere. So do something about your hearing loss. Call Listen Clear now to get started with your 45-day risk-free hearing aid trial. This special offer won't be available for long, so call Listen Clear now.
800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. We're here 24 hours a day to help. That's 800-716-4650.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome back to Killer Innovations. We are listening in on a conversation between Kim McNicholas and Nico Arsino, the Senior Director of Strategic Partnerships and Strategy at Kaiser Permanente. Nico has some unique perspectives on how innovation can change the landscape of modern healthcare.
In terms of, especially with this situation, that you ended up having to kind of design your own solution, is that a problem that you see out there in the entrepreneurial community, that a bunch of entrepreneurs are pretty much going rogue, doing what they think you want, but not coming to you and saying, how can we design it to truly fit your needs? It's almost like they design it design it to solve a problem, but it's not going to solve a problem because they're not coming to you and going, okay, well, how will this fit into the bigger picture? Because there are a million apps that track your blood pressure and your steps and everything else, but the fact that there was not one thing out there that was able to be 100% fit to you and you had to go out and design it yourself, I mean, there's a problem out there. There's some sort of a disconnect. What do you wish that entrepreneurs knew so that they could better find or create solutions to truly solve your problems so you don't have to go and create your own?
Yeah, I think that would be a great thing.
Because it's fun to design.
No. Yeah, of course it is. But I mean, it's also great just to be able to buy something too that you know is going to work, right? I think, I've spoke to this actually with Missy at the Vader event, with Bambi, are you in Kaiser's line of sight? And what I would tell, many startups is that, doctors have been trained for they go to school for a long time, right? And then they get, if they come to Kaiser Permanente, then they're trained again on how we take care of patients, right? And so they're very practiced in how they've been doing, how they treat care. So For an entrepreneur, right, to have this great idea in the startup and say, I'm going to fix this problem for you, doctor, it's not enough, right? It can't just be this, I have this great idea and it's going to change healthcare, because you have to come in knowing, one, the doctor is going to be resistant of how is it going to help me? Two, is it, to your point, is it going to really fit into the workflow and make them do another click that will do something for them? How do you know that will happen? Right? Have you done the design? Do you understand the regulatory requirements that are going into it? And a lot of times, I think many of them may have had experience in that. And I'm not saying all of them, go down this path, but I think a lot of them have this experience and they hire some people that know some of this stuff, but they still haven't done, they've done the usability and what a user might like, but they haven't done the design thinking of how it's going to affect the workflow or change it operationally within healthcare. And that's where it fails most of the time. And the bigger one is scale. Just can these startups really scale for an organization our size. So I think those are the three areas that really I would like them to be really more tuned into to be able to help us as, you know, as they go into it. Because it ends up being, it's a long turn, you know, to get KP to adopt you, and then a longer one is to stay away, stay true to themselves and not be, you know, forced to customization by us, because we tend to do that. And be able to scale for us in the end, and being, you know, hey, we did it on the long haul. So that's a long-winded answer, I guess, of answering your question.
Yeah, I just had a conversation with a nurse today that I want to bring on to handle, you know, patient engagement for social media. And, you know, the one thing we were talking about is just that there are so many different products out there and everybody's designing something. But the biggest mistake that entrepreneurs make is they think that there's a one size fit all solution. And with the direction that we're going in healthcare, we're going to more personalized healthcare where facilities, especially Kaiser, are realizing it's not a one-stop shop, that there isn't a one-size-fits-all solution. And that's why having someone like you within an organization and having partners you can work with versus an entrepreneur saying, hey, here's my solution in a box, them coming to you with something that's adaptable to your needs, to your ability to integrate, is more critical. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. No, you're spot on. Yeah. And I think that really changes the conversation, you know, because they're willing to listen and say, you know, and then come forward with like, here's how I think I might be able to help you based on what that is, right? And so you're right, it's not a one-size-fits-all, because it could be something as meaningful to changing a department or a region, which is still valuable. It doesn't have to solve every part of KP to be a good thing, you know? And, you know, funny, innovation in healthcare can be a small change incrementally, but at scale, it could be, you know, tens of millions of dollars or $100 million in savings to the overall system. So it's not insignificant, right, to be able to do something incrementally, whether it's process driven or operationally driven, or even, you know, something on a bigger scale, like, you know, more clinically based, right? Something that has a bigger value that way. So then you can cross the gamut of those different things, but, you know, giving doctors more time to spend with the patient versus spending time on technology is always a big thing. You want us to be invisible in the background, and a lot of times we're not right now. I think that's, you know, when you asked earlier, what, you know, that's what I think about day in and day out, is how do I make us invisible while still helping doctors and patients get what they need?
Right. And so what is the best approach, do you think, for entrepreneurs that want to come your way and say, gosh, we're building all these really great things, you got to use it, it's going to make a difference, and you're dumb if you don't bring us on and support us and buy our products and partner with us? Do you like the way
that's a hard one. I love talking to them because I always learn a lot. I think that my approach generally is to I meet with tons of people because that's my job. But I think that when we think about partnering, or, you know, what might be valuable if somebody comes to me, I do think it's a discussion and saying, are you really ready for a Kaiser Permanente? You know, that's my first question. What do you have, and what do you think would be valuable to our system? And I'm not saying I'm not the person that couldn't connect you, but you have to answer those questions first, right? Of like, what do you think you'll bring to it? Because otherwise we that's a bad place to start, is to throw you into the fire with some really pointed physicians, and then you've lost all credibility, right? So I think it's usually the approach is the number one thing that I coach them on, is like, you know, before you go talk to either an executive medical director or an area, you know, physician chief, those kind of things, or even some, you know, a large executive, you really have to have what you're able to do to change healthcare, to better our members.
You are listening to Kill Innovations on the BizTalk Radio Network, and we'll be right back.
Sometimes business owners and entrepreneurs don't follow a traditional schedule. Well, that's where BizTV's Biz Club can work for you on your time. For only $5.95 a month, you can have over 200 hours of our fresh, original content on demand, anywhere, anytime. And with our search feature, you can quickly and easily find the topic or show you're looking for in seconds. Sign up today and see what you've been missing. Free for 7 days. Join the Biz Club. It's BizTV. On your time.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
Call 1-800-414-1958 for your free Life Alert brochure. That's 1-800-414-1958. 1-800-414-1958. Call for your free Life Alert brochure today at 1-800-414-1958.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. That's 800-217-5107.
Being a business owner or entrepreneur can feel lonely. Unless your friends have walked the same path, they just don't understand your passion. How many times have you been asked, when are you going to get a real job? And when you finally do make it big, all of a sudden the doubters tell you they always knew you would. Does this sound familiar? You see, at BizBod, we understand the road you're on because we're on the same path. That's why we created a club just for you. Meet other people on the same path you're on and get content that will help you grow your business. All for only $49.95 a year. And if you join today, you can get your first 30 days free with promo code RADIO. This is a limited time offer. So try it for free, and who knows, you might be able to help other members. Simply go to bizbod.com and enter promo code RADIO.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information, and then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-285-4765 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-285-4765. Again, 800-285-4765.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome back. We are picking up the conversation between Kim McNicholas and Nico Arsino on innovation in modern healthcare.
What criteria do you use when you determine whether or not an entrepreneur is ready for Kaiser?
I look at the stage that they're in. A lot of times startups, they're still in their early beginnings. It's not a right fit with KP most of the time. I think the thinking is good, the conversation is good, but the ability to execute on that is usually not. My position is that I usually look for more medium, size companies that are doing they've been down the path for a while. They seem to be better suited to fit into our model. They've done the infrastructure, the security, all the back end components that are required before we could even leverage them. So I think that, it's almost that maturity of getting beyond, your A and B, but like being more in a solid state to really be able to provide scalability to a company our size. And that's usually where one criteria. The other is the value, alignment. That's an exercise we do a lot just from a partnership standpoint. What is this company, company A doing, what are their values? What are they trying to solve? And then, and then look at our values from KP and say, do they align? How much of it aligns? Is it 20%, 50%, or, 80% or whatever? And then based on that, I think, those multi-point kind of like looks, then we say, this really is a good fit. And they're solving this problem. Let's give it a shot.
And so it seems, though, if you're looking for more medium-sized companies, what I would say, I would wonder if you are trying to be on the cutting edge, because if these companies are getting bigger, well, that means they've already tested elsewhere. And so let's say your competition is more likely to, let's say, get this excimer laser versus you guys, and yet you have patients that you're still treating using rotational orbital or directional devices versus, a laser that has a better success rate or something like that. And I'm just using that as an example. But how do you expect to stay on the cutting edge? Or do you care if you're actually on the cutting edge with the newest, best treatment?
I can't speak to the, what a doctor or, what might say to that. I can tell you as a technologist, I think that being on a cutting edge, it's a double-edged sword, right? We could decide to do that, and then it fails for many patients because it couldn't scale. And that's just as bad as, because that creates, change into our process, something that didn't work, and then having to remove it. So I don't know that being on the cutting edge is always the best thing. I do think understanding where technology really has a play into what we are, and that's why you meant about the incremental, that could be more valuable and game-changing at scale than a single device that might be better, incrementally than something we already have. And so that, those are decisions we have to make internally. So it's not about that we're not technology leading as an organization. I think we probably want to, if not be one of the many that are the best at leading in technology. That said, we're not always going to go after the fanciest thing or the shiniest thing out there, because that's not always the best approach for us.
You do take it case by case. You just have a blanket that, we definitely want things that are a little bit more established and that we can actually implement and scale as quickly as possible, because if you offer.
I'm also being fair to them, because we used to do a lot of like the early startup stuff, and it's not that they don't have great ideas, but then we bring them in and then we hurt them more than we help them. just because they're not ready for us. And I'm not saying they you know, a few months down the road or a few conversations down the road, they might not be, or they might be ready. It's just that I think when we, you know, I've found success just really waiting for their maturation to come to a place where they could scale and be, you know, a better suit for us, other than us like really hurting them in the beginning, you know, because we'll direct them or we'll do things that we'll want, and they'll make a decision because they're looking at the fat cat, you know, Kaiser, and it may hurt them in the longer run. And so I've seen that too. And so I am being, you know, thoughtful about who we're partnering, what we, you know, what our stake is in it, you know, that value proposition. That's, I mean, if we're going to hurt them more than help them, then I think that that's also something we should be considerate of and not do that.
I think that the companies should also consider the fact that they, you know, shouldn't be building a product and relying upon you, the one customer. And because that'll also hurt you, because if they implement it in your place, but they can't scale on their own and find other customers, then they're going to go away and you're going to lose a key technology because they're not going to make it anymore.
Exactly. Right. I mean, and you know, that's I've seen that before. And then there's a question, well, do we have to buy them or should we buy them or just kill it? Right. And so, yes, we've learned something out of it, but then, you know, everybody is lost in that equation, and that's not a good place to be.
No, not at all. So what are your priorities right now? I know you mentioned the rehab. You also mentioned remote health is very important to you. What are the key areas that you are looking to be approached upon in terms of what's new, what's next? How can you help us?
Yeah, sure. So I think, you know, and these aren't going to sound anything like new, but I do, digital health is still, you know, out there. We're so, you know, consistently looking for solutions that actually digitize, which falls into the remote patient monitoring realm as well. IoT, which aligns there, obviously AI and machine learning are huge right now. And so I think those have been the largest focus. Blockchain starting to come into to some kind of maturity there where we're, you know, I think we are investigating it. How much of it will be relevant, at least right now, still TBD, but those are the focus areas, I would say, of emerging technology that we're deeply engaged in.
Yeah, what are you looking at? What do you have your eye on in terms of the potential for blockchain and the areas in which it could potentially provide value?
Yeah, I think the beginning areas are really on just leveraging the ledger, like, you know, chain of custody, those kind of things, compliance-based stuff. If you think of pharmacy use cases, I think that there's a lot of, like, low-hanging fruit there where this could really have a strong play for us, you know, just in the cost, loss, management of inventory, those kind of things that as we think about where it comes in from a manufacturer, the cost of them, the, you know, the procurement of the sales of them, the distribution, I think that there's a ton of value there that could help us to, you know, just support the reduction in cost and the reduction of loss there. So I think that's a good area to start in. There are other, I think lab comes into play there as well, you know, that just leveraging them for when you bring in IoT and blockchain, you could have, we have a lot of specimens that require refrigeration and they require, you know, special handling and chain of custody. I think it could have a play there as well.
Oh, wow. Yeah, definitely. And how are you? I'm sure you're approached every day with blockchain companies wanting to knock on your door. Can you talk about, even in general, you probably can't mention specific names, in general, the pros and cons of what you've experienced with some of these companies where you're either going, wow, that sounds really cool. Sounds like they're on the track to executing, and to conversely, the going, oh my gosh, this company's never going to make it. What were they?
Yeah, the good news is that I have a lead on blockchain. I mean, a person that leads that area, and he gets to deal with all of that. I get to deal with, like, okay, so let's go vet them if you think we should go work with them, right? And who do we align them with? And I think a lot of the interesting stuff right now, which, you know, and I'll give you some names. I can't say that we're working with them, but I mean, you think about all the large pharma companies right now. I think a lot of times where we start with some of these bigger ideas is who has the biggest vested interest in doing that, you know, whether it's a large pharma company and what are they doing in blockchain? And so that's a lot of the work that I do is go investigate, like, what are they doing? Not just a small, and I know that's a little different than your guys' world, but, you know, it does help me to lead to who in the startup world is doing something similar, or is that startup now already working with that large company because the large company doesn't have the expertise or the capabilities that they need. So they have to leverage these other leading startups. So it's a good way to kind of determine who to be targeting and why.
You are listening to Killer Innovations on the BizTalk Radio Network, and we'll be right back.
In the know, I'm Brian Osuch. Mike Savicki is a C6-7 quadriplegic who is a Navy veteran, multi-sport athlete who stays on the go. He says when it comes to mobility and transportation, there is hope for those who are disabled.
It's about finding wheelchair-accessible vehicles and solutions that allow us to drive or be transported to be a part of society, which is what we with disabilities really want most of all.
Mike still drives and lives an independent life.
I was introduced to a wheelchair-accessible vehicle through a local Namita dealer who taught me about getting in and out with my wheelchair, driving with my hands, and about the fact that I can get my driver's license again and I can have that independence and freedom.
Many call Mike a hero, and he's urging others to enter the local Heroes Campaign contest for a chance to win a wheelchair-accessible van tailored to meet their needs.
Go to the website mobilityawarenessmonth.com and share a short story or a video that tells us about who you are and what you're doing that makes you a little special.
For more information, go to mobilityawarenessmonth.com. Now you're in the know from Numita.
Autism. One out of every 68 children in America are impacted across every race, ethnicity, and socioeconomic group. If you aren't directly affected, someone you know is. Today's world doesn't support those on the autism spectrum. It needs hacking for us to truly welcome those who think and create differently than ourselves. We're Hacking Autism, a nonprofit charity with a mission to hack therapy, technologies, and career opportunities that improve the personal and professional lives of people on the autism spectrum. We believe that everyone can play a role in supporting those on the autism spectrum so that they can show their unique talents and abilities in this fast-paced world. You aren't powerless in this fight. Use your gifts and talents to make a positive impact. Join us in making a difference. Go to hackingautism.org to learn more.
Attention investors, respected names in the financial services industry are not evaluating if there will be a significant market downturn, but when. Higher interest rates and prospects of a trade war suggest the stock market is headed into a perilous direction. Subprime mortgages, which are back, could potentially devastate the real estate market, as they did before. And with stocks simply overdue for a fall after this second longest bull run in history, even bullish analysts are recognizing these indicators that equities are in big trouble and have projected stock market losses up to 40%. You can protect your IRA or 401k for maximum safety and opportunity with physical gold and silver, as they are assets that remain genuine stores of value no matter what's happening in the marketplace. Call Augusta Precious Metals today at 855-858-5806. That's 855-858-5806 to get your free guide to precious metals investing. Call Augusta Precious Metals today at 855-858-5806. That's 855-858-5806.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579. 1-800-521-9579.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to a $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome back to Killer Innovations. We are listening in on the conversation between Kim and Nico as they wrap up their discussion about innovation in modern healthcare.
Our greatest risk in healthcare is privacy and security, right? So, that, I mean, that comes up time and time again. And in the SaaS and cloud world today, I mean, there's still, I mean, as much as data is present and the opportunities to look at, you know, AI or machine learning on the data that we have, which is currency today, if we expose that in the wrong way or, you know, and there's still, I know we're starting to make that move, most of healthcare is, but there's still a lot of hesitation, especially from the larger organizations like mine. Why, you know, how do we move our data there and what are the, because that could hurt our brand and or the reputation or the trust that we have with our main members if something bad happens, right? If that data is lost or exposed or something. So I think they really need to know what they're getting into when it comes to those regulatory requirements.
That is huge. And also with security, just for example, with this laser company, that they actually did everything off the grid. They didn't want it to be connected at all. They wanted it to be completely analog because they had heard so many horror stories of data being stolen and people infiltrating through like MRI machines because they're not adequately set up for security and integration into network security systems.
Yeah, completely. I mean, in my old hat, I used to be an infrastructure. I used to do our wireless strategy and I led our product management team. You know, think of us buying off-the-shelf products, but really productizing it for KP so that, you know, because there's a lot to think around across spectrum and the different frequencies and then how something connects securely to our network, like an IV pump or, you know, those kind of things. And we would see just, you know, and these are large biotech, you know, or clean tech companies that are making devices, but the inherent operating system and security that's on them, it was like 10 years old at that time, you know, and you were wondering like, how could this ever be secure? You know, if somebody hacked into that module and, you know, actually affected what it was delivering to the member, you know, and it was very simple. These are simple things. So I think, you know, I mean, obviously we've helped those companies evolve from where they're at today, but it's the same thing now with the SaaS application of the cloud. You know, what are you doing to really secure that to make us, able to leverage your product, even if you have the best idea. If the product, you know, isn't on a platform that's secure, we can't use it.
And you think that many of them would know that ahead of time? Nope.
No. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, they're developers, they're tech people. You know, they have great ideas and they start typing out the code, but then you know, this is what we live, and so unfortunately, they have to. You know, that becomes a larger road to fix, be able for us to even do a pilot.
Yeah, a lot of them are still using, I mean, they're even taught in college to use third-party platforms, right, to develop their code and things like that versus actually, you know, doing it the old way where you develop your own language and you tell you know, type in a letter and you tell that computer, okay, that letter means this. They have software that they use that already makes that translation for them and makes it simple. And I think that there's a lot of danger in it and a lot more checks and balances that you have to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Any final thoughts? Anything I didn't ask you that you think would be a great story to share or a message that you want to get across?
I just think maybe to finish on your last question there, I think, you know, some of the other thing, you know, I know that design thinking is an old in the industry today, right? But I think design is critical. If you think about the, you know, what the psychology is of design, or, you know, design should be about solving problems for people, right? It's you know, if you think we did something with our rad, these are our new clinics in Southern California, and I had the opportunity to work on there's 14 technologies from the home to the clinic, and reimagining what a clinic experience can be. So you think about, you know, the experience today, and that's why I mentioned it when, you know, when I talked about field studies going in, kind of, you know, nothing important happens in the office, is they go out there, you know, for being a patient today in most clinics outside of, say, One Medical or those kind of experiences, you go into this, you know, conference room looking office building that's, you know, pretty cold, bland colors. You're probably usually either feeling terrible or something terrible has happened to a loved one. The first thing that, you know, most healthcare providers will ask you for is some way to prove that it's you, identification, and money. You know, it's not personalized. It's not usually, I mean, it can be friendly, but, you know, I think, you know, you're at your worst and you're still having to deal with, you know, those processes to get stuff done. An environment isn't, you know, designed to make you feel better at all or to embode the idea or the feeling of wellness. So in Southern California, where we started this, that's exactly what we did. We really took a, you know, a design thinking approach to what could the experience be from your house to the clinic to seeing the doctor if we change that. And it really meant rethinking the entire workflow and how those 14 technologies would actually work, you know, from the mobile device or your browser to making an appointment, paying, getting to a facility, you know, creating no waiting room, because we didn't want you to feel like you were waiting on anybody. We wanted to make sure that, you know, we knew when you got there, we knew who you were, we personalized that experience. You were notified when the doctor was ready to see you. You've probably already paid your copay, so it wasn't an issue. And then we just notified you to come in to see the doctor when it was there. And then when you saw the doctor, their back wasn't to you like a transcriptionist typing into an EHR, but looking in the eyes. And everything that the doctor was typing is being shared with you on the screen so that they knew what they were typing and talking to was actually a reflection of what it was. And you could ask questions along the way. So, I mean, that really looks, you know, like a different experience than, you know, waiting in line or sitting down and, you know, getting in queue again, or, you know, having a really bright open environment, you know, a la Apple Store kind of experience to be like, you know, maybe while you're waiting, or to be notified, why don't you go see someone about this wellness thing or this class or this, you know, other thing that you could do, or be able to even go get a coffee and be texted when you're ready to see the doctor. So it really changed, you know, not you waiting on us experience to being, you know, kind of being able, you know, in a better place when you came to our facilities. And so that was when you think about what, you know, you should think about that. Think about what you will do to make the experience better through design.
This has been a special presentation of Killer Innovations. To learn more about Nico and his work on innovation in the healthcare field, check out the show notes over at killerinnovations.com. And thanks for listening.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk, online at biztalkradio.com.